I remember I literally looked myself in the mirror one day. This actually happened. Looked myself in the mirror and I said, Matt, you're full of crap. And I had a conversation with myself and basically said, you either need to put your head down and focus or you need to get out altogether and go do something else.
Welcome to the Quick Talk Podcast with Joshua Latimer, where we discuss business, life, family, faith, struggle, fire, pain, and ultimately winning.
It's time to take massive action. Look, I can't work harder on your life or business than you do.
It's ultimately all on you.
You know, God created all the food the birds would ever need, but he doesn't put it in their nest. You've got to go get it.
10 out of 10 people die. So how about doing something today that actually matters while you still can? Hey everybody, welcome to the Quick Talk Podcast. This is Josh. Hope you're having a great, fantastic, marvelous, spectacular, unbelievably productive and satisfying day. Well, that might have been a little much, but I'm excited today. I have a guy on the line with me named Matthew Smith. I've known Matt for many years. He actually had a service company in the neighboring town to where mine was. And I can't believe it. It's actually been 3 years since I was even in the actual service business. I cannot believe how fast time flies. But he has an incredible story. And he's been helping a lot of people on YouTube. And I've been watching kind of behind the scenes, watching his company grow and all the systems he's building and the team that he's assembling. And I just thought his story would be super valuable for you guys to hear. And so, Matt, welcome and thank you. How the heck are you?
Hey, I appreciate it, Josh. I'm doing really good.
So I think we met because I could be wrong, but I think I called you and took you to lunch because I saw your truck. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, a competitor.
Yeah.
A competitor. I have to buy him a cheeseburger or something.
Yeah, so this is actually funny because I remember exactly where I was. I was on US 23 driving down the highway. And I got a phone call from you, and I had no clue who you were. But I knew of your company because it was when you had that, it was like a apartment office thing on South Long Lake Road.
Oh,
and
yes. So
I remember your trucks over there, and I was like, yeah, I know who that company, I know who the guy is. But yeah, you called me, and we went and got lunch.
I've told people on my podcast, I actually would call any competing company that I saw because I honestly wanted to know them and be friends. I didn't think there was like any reason for us to not know each other, but no one would ever take me up on it. But you did. You were like, sure, let's hang out. And then we started a relationship.
Yeah, for sure.
So, okay, back then though, you know, I was further ahead because I had been in the business, you know, a while and you were just starting. And I think you started in carpet. Just tell us your story a little bit, kind of unpack the history of the humble beginnings and all that stuff.
Yeah, so I mean, we'll go back even a little bit further. When I was 18, I started a lawn care business. I worked for a guy, and after working for him for a summer, I looked at what he was doing, and I said, hey, I can do that. And so I went out, I bought a mower, trailer, truck, all that stuff. And the end of my senior year, I started it, and I did that for 2 years. I built that to a bunch of accounts that we serviced every week and all that kind of stuff. Long story short, going ahead a couple more years is when I started my company, The Dirt Hunter. We actually started as a carpet cleaning company.
That's a great name, by the way. The Dirt Hunter is like the most sick brand. I love that. It's awesome.
Yeah,
sorry.
I'll give my wife credit for that one. Yeah, so I started as a carpet cleaning company, but you know, being in business a few years prior, I kind of already had the mindset knowing that I wanted to be able to build the company out to where I could grow it, have multiple employees, eventually, you know, take my role over as a technician and I could do the things I actually like doing. As I was going through that transition of carpet, we also did window cleaning as an upsell. And carpet cleaning is hard work, man. I mean, it's backbreaking. You know, you're in there with the steam, you're sweating. And I started to think, you know, you have to mix the chemicals just right when you're doing upholstery and all this other stuff. And I said, man, how hard is it going to be for me to train guys to clean carpet? Well, as I'm kind of going through this process in my head, we're starting to do more and more window cleaning. And as you know, Josh, window cleaning, you need basically a scrubber, a squeegee, and a rag, and Dawn dish soap. And so we started doing more and more and more of that. And in my head, I started thinking, you know, I think this is more scalable as far as being easier to train employees on. And so I actually ended up ditching the carpet cleaning thing altogether, which may or may not have been a good choice. I don't really know. But that's kind of how we started. And we became what we call like an exterior cleaning company where we do windows, house washing, gutter cleaning, and roof cleaning.
Gotcha. Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. You know, we can compare all the different services, and carpet cleaning is far more technical for sure. Like the barriers to entry are higher because getting a truck mount or the proper equipment is super expensive. So I'd say it's clearly more of a kind of professional type of service. But there's benefits to both. I mean, there's a higher average ticket, I think, with carpet sometimes. There's high, just like with pressure cleaning. You know, you can make more money with that way. But the fact of the matter is no matter what service you pick, there's massive opportunity, right? If at least if we can have the power to focus. Talk about that. the entrepreneurial black widow disease of wanting to do, you started lawn care, then you want to do carpet, and you want to do wind, and then you want to do internet business, and then you want to start a bakery. I don't know. Like, we all struggle with this. What was that like for you?
Yeah, for sure. So for me, I mean, I consider myself a purebred entrepreneur. And if any, you know, one here listening is like that, they understand that you have new ideas that pop in your head daily. And for whatever reason, the grass is always greener on the other side. So a lot of people, what happens is they start a business, they start getting it going, they have a new idea that they think might be better, then they jump to that idea, they jump to the next idea, and before you know it, 5-10 years goes by and they haven't really done anything. And that's what happened to me. And I remember I literally looked myself in the mirror one day, this actually happened, looked myself in the mirror and I said, Matt, you're full of crap. And I had a conversation with myself and basically said, you either need to put your head down and focus, or you need to get out altogether and go do something else. And the day I did that, it's kind of weird. I don't even know what happened, but something happened inside of me where something changed. And I became laser focused for the next 4 years on my service company to the point where I wouldn't even entertain the thought of a different business idea. And when I did that, sales started going through the roof. I got way more focused. I started working on more important tasks. And, you know, just a result, the business grew a lot faster. And so for me, that was a pivotal moment, because if I didn't do that, if I didn't have that conversation with myself, I'm not sure where I'd even be today.
Oh my gosh, dude, that is really powerful. I've said on the podcast before, there's some company, I need to actually find out who this company is, but there's a company in New Jersey that does $15 million a year, and all they do is gutter cleaning. And that's what I was told by someone in New Jersey. And whether it's true or not, it could be true. And the fact of the matter is your business doesn't have to be like your life's passion, or your business isn't who you are as a person. It's a tool or a vehicle to let you go live the life and be the person you want to be, right? I mean,
sure.
You don't have to be like super nerding out about soap and technical jargon for whatever, but you can use your business, but it does require focus. Why do you think it's so hard for people to do that, Matt?
I think patience is a big one. I'm sure you probably heard of Gary Vaynerchuk. He talks about patience a lot. And before that became like a popular message, I mean, that was something I really believed in. Building a business doesn't happen overnight. I forget the quote. It's like, we underestimate what we can do in 10 years, but overestimate what we can do in one. And there's nothing more true than that. So for me, focusing and being patient was a big ordeal, because you knew me back in the day and I was a very impatient person. I wanted things to happen overnight, and it's just not the reality. And so you've got to get to a place in life where you can recognize that what you're doing in this moment isn't for tomorrow. It's for the next 5 or 10 years down the road.
Ooh, it's everything you're saying is true, but it's one of those hard messages. Like, we know it's true, but it kind of feels like we're getting punched in the face when we hear it, you know?
Yeah, totally. Yep.
But through pain and suffering, I've found that to be true in my life. I'm not perfect with this, everybody, just to be clear. I'm an idea factory, just like Matt said he is. We're idea factories, and we're creative people, and we want to start things, build things, and try to help people and do stuff. But you have to have the maturity, and I believe the maturity comes really through pain, right, of continuously getting stuck or going from this project to that project to that project and being dissatisfied with it. If you do that enough and there's enough pain, eventually you'll have enough calluses on your hand, I think, to where you will try the whole focus thing. You hear the John Lee Dumas quote, you know, follow one course until success, the acronym for focus, right? You've heard that?
Yeah. Yep.
It's not super sexy, but it is the path. So let's pivot a little bit. Tell us about your company, some of the systems you've built. After you started focusing and you said you were going to push pause on the other ideas, what happened? What were some of the milestones and benchmarks? I know you guys have a beautiful office now and you're in a really, really good market. You got a bunch of trucks. You guys are making, you know, tons of revenue and doing all this stuff. Walk us through some of the pain and different things you've learned going through the process.
Yeah. Well, first 2 years, one of my business mentors, I talk about him a lot on my YouTube channel, but he recently sold a pest control business here in Michigan for $22 million. My first 2 years in business, I would meet with him about once a month, and he would always tell me, Matt, the only thing you need to worry about right now is sales. And, you know, I would always be talking about customer experience, and I want to serve people well, and I want to make sure I have the right equipment. And he just always bring me back to sales. All you got to worry about is sales. So for the first 2 years, all I did was put my head down. I made sure the jobs got completed. I made sure we serviced the people well, obviously. But my main priority was to get the phone to ring. I wasn't super concerned about whether my pricing was exact or whatever it was. All I wanted to do is get the phone to ring so I could build revenue so the business could continue to grow. With that mindset, I knew that down the road, I wanted to obviously replace myself and my business partner, Jake, on the truck because that would allow us to grow faster. So year two, I think it was, year one, my business partner and I, we made $12,000 apiece. So we didn't pay ourselves through the winter. And the reason we did that was because we put all that money back into marketing so we could grow in year two, which is a big thing that people don't do. They spend all their money or they blow it on whatever it is, and it really prohibits their business from growing quicker. But year two, I was able to hire a helper to go on the truck with Jake. And my full-time job was to literally just hand out postcards all day, knock on doors, make phone calls, just make the phone ring, you know? And that was a stressful year for us, but it was a freeing year because I saw the opportunity of what could happen if I could get the business to a point to replace myself in the positions that I shouldn't be in. Does that make sense?
Oh my God, dude, this is so epic for people. I teach people that there's only two things that you even need to do on your way up to a million. After that, it gets a little bit more complicated, but sales.
Yep.
It's the lifeblood of any successful venture on the planet, period. And then people. So it's kind of like this oscillating teeter-totter. So you're driving sales, making yourself get redlined and stressed out and booked out to the point where you're about to break. And then you kind of pivot over and build up a little team around you and coach them and work them imperfectly. And then as soon as they're in place, you have to pivot back to sales. Like, sales is the thing, but people overanalyze stuff. I know you're working with people too, and that you're coaching some people, and people have reached out to you because of the success that you've had. And I don't know how long you've been doing that, but do you feel that people overanalyze everything when in fact it is just as simple as you said? Focus
on sales?
For sure.
They overthink everything. They want to overcomplicate it. And I was probably like that too in the beginning. Which is why it's so important to go find somebody who's already done what you're trying to do and just basically copy what they did. And that's a big part of why our business has grown so much, because I didn't try to reinvent the wheel. You know, Josh, you spoke a lot in my life in the beginning. I used a lot of those things you taught me and put into our business. My other business mentor, same thing. And yeah, we put our own twist on things, but you know, there's no sense of reinventing the wheel if you don't have to. People have already done what you're trying to do. Window cleaning isn't something I invented, and there's a lot of successful guys out there that have already built it. So why am I trying to, you know, reinvent a new wheel when there's already been one built and I can just learn from that?
Yeah, I have the same mentality. I mean, certain things are foundational truths with your company. And like you said, there's different twists, there's different ways to word it, there's different ways to explain it, different metaphors, but basically, it's all the same types of stuff. I didn't invent it. I learned from people. The difference, I think, between people like you, Matt, and myself and the people that are crushing it out there is that they actually implement and execute on these things, that they do it. So there's a lot of people that will watch your YouTube videos or listen to this podcast, and they're perpetually consuming information without implementing any of it. And I feel like it's a mind trick we play with ourselves. Well, we feel productive because we're learning information,
yep,
but we're not actually deploying it into the world. And it's slow and it's messy and it's not perfect and it's really hard when you start implementing. It's sexy to listen to a podcast and get fired up, no doubt about it. But when you're out there passing out postcards, thousands per week, week after week after week after week, like, there's nothing amazingly like to brag about. Like, that sucks, right? But
yeah,
that's the path.
For sure. Yeah, sucks bad. I have a big banner on our wall in our office. It's like 10 feet by probably 5 feet. It's huge. It says, ideas suck, execution's everything. And I live by that. I mean, I was one of those guys. I sat on the forum when I first started for hours, sometimes half a day at a time, just consuming content. And I became a consumer rather than a doer. And that's when I had to have that conversation with myself and tell myself that I was full of crap and I really needed to begin to execute.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all did that. So I'm not beating up on you guys if you're doing that. It's just, there's going to come a day when your pain level is going to reach a point where you're going to have the epiphany that Matt had, that I had, where you say, this isn't working. Like, I'm just going to put my, you know, gloves on and go to work. Like, I got to do this stuff, right? So, okay, let's talk a little bit about your culture and your team. You guys have this office now. You have momentum. I mean, what does that feel like? Because I know before I sold Birds Beware, you would come over there, you were just starting, it probably felt like this, you know, mega operation and stuff, and you were just beginning to believe, like, oh my God, like, I see it, I understand, like, it's possible, it's logical. Like, there are thousands of people we can serve. We can generate a lot of revenue. But it was theory. But now you're living that. Like, you're doing it right now. What is that like?
Yeah. No, I remember coming to your office and sitting in your office, and Kyle was in the other room answering the phones. And I remember coming in there in the morning, and the phone's ringing off the hook. And I'm thinking, like, dude, I'm just trying to get my phone to ring once a day. And yours rang, you know, 10 times in an hour or in a half hour, whatever it was. I remember going back to Jake and be like, dude, Josh's phone doesn't stop ringing. Like, what are we doing wrong? But it was just that infant stage of business. That's how it is. That's how you get started. And so now we're kind of in the same thing. And it's weird. I have to kind of check myself sometimes. You know, the month of November is the biggest month of the year for us for gutter cleaning. We do, close to 1,000 gutter cleanings in 1 month.
Wow. And, Holy smokes.
It's insane. It's a service we really, really focus on. And we push for, you know, just like crazy. So the phone doesn't stop ringing. And I remember walking in the office, now 2017, but it was the month of November, and the phone's just going nuts. And my sales guy and my office girl, Kenna, is answering the phones at the same time. And I had to check myself. I'm like, remember 3-4 years ago when the phone wasn't ringing at all?
So awesome. Oh, my God. Yo, it's really humbling. You kind of like step back and you realize how important a team is, right? Like,
yeah.
We didn't create any of this stuff on our own, right?
No.
We got to have the people around us. I think that's awesome. So let's talk about belief a little bit, because I'm doing a podcast every single day in the year 2018, which is insane. And I've already talked about belief a couple of times because I think it's really important. And I know for myself, I literally, in the very beginning for my cleaning business, my goal was to make $500 a week and survive and not deliver pizza. Like, that was a dream life to me at the time. I didn't know what was possible. My belief level was really low. Because I didn't know. I wasn't exposed to entrepreneurs. I knew nothing. I knew nobody. No, I just didn't know. And then when you, in the beginning, would come to our company and hear the phone ringing and stuff, how did you manufacture belief? You know, advice would you give to someone who's like, God, you know, can you really do 50,000 a month, 100,000 a month, 200? Like, it's real. It's just math. Like, it's not emotional to me now or to you, but to the guy who's back where we were, it feels impossible. How do you get them to believe that it's possible?
Yeah, I think it's just surrounding yourself with the right people. I was thinking about that today. You know, you hear that quote that parents all tell their kids, you know, you're going to become who you hang around. And it's totally true for adults. You know, when I started my business, I had a big group of friends that I would hang out with, some at church, some outside of church, whatever it was. And I had to really check myself on who I'm hanging out with, because some of these guys, you know, maybe weren't the most motivated. They were good guys to be around and, you know, nothing wrong with them. But I recognize when I start to hang out with people like that, I start to kind of think that way. And so the biggest thing for me was finding a group of, you know, five people in my local area that I could call a good friend that had similar interests as me that could keep me motivated. Just hanging around the right people is a huge deal. You know, my family, I think kind of like yours, wasn't that keen on me starting my own company, especially in the beginning. And I don't blame them a bit, because they weren't, you know, my mom wasn't raised that way. She doesn't know any different. Even now, you know, I'll stop by at 12 o'clock in the afternoon on a Wednesday and she's like, why aren't you at work? And I'm like, well, I was able to take half a day off. And she just can't grasp that mentality, you know? And so for me, it was very important to get some people around me that did understand that and that could motivate me. And so that would be my biggest piece of advice, is find people that are like-minded.
Dude, that is great advice. And again, it goes back to not overcomplicating. Guess what, everybody? You want to change your belief? You want to grow? Be around people that are where you want to be, right? Find someone and model them. That's it. I'm doing that right now, because now I have this app and the software business we're trying to grow, and it's a whole different animal. And when we started the company, it was a total reset for us. Like, we didn't know what we were doing. I've been banging my head against the wall with this software thing for many years. And in the last 18 months, we've really started to figure things out, and we started to grow and scale, and we got momentum and stuff. But it's still a mess. Like, we have to fix so much stuff. And so what am I doing? I mean, model what I'm doing. I paid $25,000 to join Russell Brunson's Inner Circle.
Yeah.
And, like, I wanted to throw up when I sent the money, because that's a lot of money, you know, and people pay me for my courses and stuff. And it's a humbling thing, but I've just come to the point where I know that's the path. Like, he's done it before. He can help me. The people in the group can help me. I need that community. I need that niche community of people living the same crazy, weird, internet-y software world as me.
For sure.
And it's made a huge difference, man. It's crazy. Are you in any specific masterminds or networking groups? What have you done in a kind of a formal way with that?
Yeah, you know, I'm not in any like masterminds or specific networking groups. I probably should be. But more so, I've just really picked out a couple people that I look up to in the business world, locally and all across the country that I get on calls with randomly. But I have one or two guys here that I meet with almost monthly, and it's a huge help. Again, they've done what I'm trying to do, and every time I meet with them, I get value.
And just the accountability, right? I mean,
for sure.
If you tell your mentor, hey, these are my plans, we're going to, you know, double our businesses here, or we're going to do this and that, and then you don't do it, like, that's super awkward. So you're more likely to do it, right?
For sure. Totally.
So explain what kind of coaching stuff you do, how people can connect with you. What does that side of your life look like right now?
Yeah. So I started a YouTube channel almost a year ago to the date. And my motive behind it was to just very simply deliver content, valuable content to people in the service industry, basically giving tips of things I've learned along the way. And just being very open with people, you know, not making big claims, not pretending my business is bigger than it is, just being, you know, an open book. And my videos are very raw. I shoot 90% of them on my cell phone and upload them to YouTube, and people watch them. And so, you know, byproduct of that over the last years, I get people that email me asking if I do one-on-one coaching, and I didn't. That was never my intention. But after helping people, and, you know, people want an hour of your time, whatever it is, you got to charge for it. And so long story short, I started a basically a small little coaching gig, and I only help typically around like 5 to 10 people at a time. But you can go to serviceindustrycoach.com, check out the coaching packages there. Again, you'll like barely ever see me push these because that's just not who I am.
Well, you're still focused on your core business, but I also know that entrepreneurs are typically pretty giving people. Like, we like to help. And it's once you help someone and they get a result, it's kind of like addicting. Like, oh my God, I want to help more people change their life and get a result. And I think it's awesome. It's just, the thing is that you got to make sure that you're working with someone who's actually lived and done the things that you're trying to do. And Matt has. I know him personally, and he knows what's going on. He's got great systems and a great company going. So who's your like ideal sized person business-wise, like your avatar? Who can you help the most?
Yeah, I'd say anyone between just starting to a company that does $500,000 a year. A lot of the guys I work with are like kind of stuck in that $50,000 to $100,000 range and just trying to figure out how to get out, how to systemize their business so they can get out of that technician stage. And so anybody like that, and they don't have to be a pressure cleaning company. I'm a huge believer that 90% of service businesses can basically all be scaled pretty close to the same way. So I help people in the surveillance camera business, pressure cleaners, lawn care guys, a lot of different stuff.
Yep. I always say the architecture of all the home service companies is really identical. The deliverable is different. The end thing that you're selling is different. But the infrastructure of the company, it's the same stuff. You still got to follow the same process. So that's really cool. And your YouTube channel is youtube.com/serviceindustrycoach, correct?
Yep.
That's awesome, man. I appreciate you taking the time. I was really excited to connect with you. We haven't talked in a really long time, and it's awesome. I'm super proud of what you've done. I think it's amazing, and I know it's just the beginning for you.
Hey, I appreciate it, Josh, and just so you know, I push all of our coaching people to your podcast, and they're eating it up, so I appreciate it.
Oh, very cool. That's awesome. Yeah. All right. We need more Quick Talk listeners. Everybody out there, I just want to thank you guys for all the iTunes reviews that you've given us. Super, super appreciate it. It's helping us reach more people. And if you haven't done so yet, take 60 seconds, leave us a review, and make sure you connect with Matt. If you're stuck and you have a small company, pay some money to get some accountability. Pay a few bucks and try it out. See what happens, because you're going to get results. I've gotten results. Matt gets results. It's I don't know. I'm being a broken record at this point, but I appreciate your time today. You probably need to go develop your plan to do 2,000 gutter cleanings this year, right?
That's our goal.
Is it really?
No, it's not.
Oh, my gosh. 2,000?
Yeah.
That is crazy. 1,000. I'm like supposed to end the podcast now, but now I'm stuck in this thing. 1,000 gutter cleanings. So that's like, what, like 30 a day, 7 days a week or something, or 40 or 50 a day, 5, 6 days a week?
Yeah, we were doing around 40 to 50 gutter cleanings a day.
How? Yeah. I mean, let's talk logistics briefly. I'm sorry, this is a weird podcast now, but I think this is really interesting.
Yeah, for sure. So basically, I'm a big postcard guy, every door direct mail. during all year long, except the winter, we send roughly 10,000, but for gutter cleaning, we ramp that up a lot. We have a lot of yard signs. When I say a lot, we put out like 1,000 of them this year. All over, they get taken down. We put them back up the next day, and we do that for an entire month.
That is so awesome. Billboard.
Yeah, we bought a billboard this year, which was a horrible mistake. We got like, no return on it. Yeah, now we know. We do a lot of Facebook ads, do tons of Google AdWords. So we really ramp up our budget, and we spend a ton of money for marketing. For our gutter cleaning service,
we could have like a whole second podcast with this now, because the couple things I really like that you just said was you didn't buy 25 yard signs. You bought 1,000 yard signs. People don't do enough to create momentum. They're also horrified to spend money on a customer, which boggles my brain, because it makes no sense. With a repeat service, I don't care if you make no net profit on the first transaction. If you're going to keep them for the next 10 years, that's like the most profitable thing on the planet. Why are people so scared to acquire customers through paid channels?
Yeah, I don't get it either. And you know, the most important thing is we spend the money up front to acquire all these customers. But what I think we do really well is we hammer these customers multiple times a year. So we're getting multiple cleanings out of them. So I might capture somebody for gutter cleaning in the fall, but I know that they're probably going to buy from us in the spring of next year. Then they're going to get gutter cleaning again in the fall. And that's how you really ramp up and build your company.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, you can make it take 20 years if you want, or you can do what Matt's talking about. You go way over the top, massive action, huge, huge numbers and results. You don't do 1,000 postcards, you do 100,000 postcards. If you're going to do EDDM, you got to commit to it for the whole season and be consistent, or don't even waste your money on it because it won't work. You got to hit them every month, be consistent, yeah. Pick your routes, pick your targeting. Like, you could almost pick any form of marketing, in my opinion. You can tell me if you agree. And any of it would work. It's all valid, but you have to go deep on it and big with it and hammer it and be a relentless broken record with it, right?
For sure. And probably the biggest thing that I hear guys say, they're like, well, I tried every door direct mail, but it didn't work.
Oh, God, that's so frustrating. I know.
It's like, dude, I've been hitting the exact same routes for the last 2 years every single month. That's why it works for me. You know what I mean? It takes commitment. It takes patience.
And it takes real money. Focus. I mean, it makes your butt pucker up a little bit when you're writing these big fat checks to do stuff like that. But you have to just trust that this is the path, because it is the path. If it's not working, tweak your design. Don't give up on it. Fix it. Become a ninja master at it. And then when you come out the other side, like Chris Lambertini's in New Jersey, his company, I think, did about $3 million, mostly residential at its peak. And his whole company is built just off of direct mail. That's it. But he was so good at it. He had spent hundreds of thousands of dollars making mistakes to figure out how to do it the right way. I mean, anyway, I think that's really cool. I love the 1,000-yard sign thing. I love that you're doing 50 gutter cleanings a day. That's madness, but sounds really awesome. Make some videos on that. Do you have videos about that?
As far as, like, the actual operation of it?
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
No, we don't, but it's insane.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, I think it's awesome, man, and good job. Good job. High five. Thanks. Over the internet. It was great catching up with you. Everybody go to serviceindustrycoach.com. Connect with Matt. He's a super cool guy. Thank you for your time, Matt.
Hey, appreciate it, Josh.
Hey, thanks for hanging out, friends. And from all of us here at the Quick Talk Podcast team, we hope you loved today's show. We hope that you were inspired to become a doer and not just a listener. Apply what you've heard today in your own business and watch things change for the better. Lastly, remember that all the money in the world can't save your soul. Seek first the kingdom of God, my friends. We'll see you next time.
For more information about the Quick Talk Podcast or Joshua's other businesses, visit our website, quicktalkpodcast.com. Have a blessed day.